AG1.
What's up? I'm here to talk to you about AG1 Athletic Greens again. You know, it's important to me that the supplements I take are high quality, and that's why I've been taking AG1 for, what is it now, 4 years, 3.5 years or something like that? The thing I like about it is it's researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their fields. So you know it ain't BS, it's AG. They are the real deal. I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't a buzzword. They really push hard. Expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, rigorous testing. They got it all. At each step of the process, AG1 is going above and beyond. Now, what I like about them, first of all, you can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's an NSF certified for sport, which is like a rigorous, independent quality. They've tested for over 950 contaminants, banned substances. The industry standard apparently is only testing for 10. Dude, it's 95 times as rigorous. And it's not complicated. It's so simple. It's just replacing health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, in just one simple scoop. It takes 60 seconds. You don't have to swallow a bunch of pills on an empty stomach. Boom. And as I always say, you get a little bit of water in there too. Get that day started. So with the water, and then for me, the prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support is probably the most important ingredient. I eat a pretty varied diet, so I get my nutrition from a lot of places, but I got to eat more fermented foods. But AG1 lets me have this prebiotics and probiotics first thing in the morning. Take care of my digestive enzymes, which if you're a listener of the podcast, you know I need help with. All right. Look, I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make a high-quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. I chug down an AG1 maybe within 10 minutes of getting out of bed. It's the way I start my day every day, even on the road. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/mighty. That's DRINKAG, the number one, .com/MIGHTY. drinkag1.com/mighty.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. All you gotta do is trust me. The number one fuckboy, Johnny G. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. Artie not currently in here because he spilled a green tea and felt shame and ran out of here. The gentleman who brought me that green tea, the gentleman who are returning pot for the third episode or the fourth episode, fifth? They all blend together after a while. Guys, in the studio are the two old queens, Mark Rennie and John Flynn.
Hello.
Yes. I almost did it. And I was like, don't let them have that. I almost went,
totally joined in.
You could have. It makes me so happy.
You just screamed number one fuckboy for 30 seconds, and that's not enough.
I want to steal your. Although you guys, you know, really cornered the market by saying hello.
Yeah.
No one else can say that.
Sorry, but copyright on hello.
I guess you are the number one fuckboy would be a married man.
Yes.
He's never going to commit to you. He's even married.
I'm the ultimate fuckboy. Yeah. Guys, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for
having us. I know you're so busy with your own podcast.
That's true. Very subtle. Busy. Yes, very good.
Yes. We have a podcast, which is a spinoff of this podcast.
One of those unauthorized spinoffs.
We'll give you a percentage of all the money we're not getting.
you guys cut me in for 10%. I'm sending you checks every month.
At this point, that would be
great. You're like, hey, we hired an engineer. You got to pay for 10%.
Give them $2
until we get MeUndies on board.
I would love that. Honestly, I use their product.
Do you?
That's great.
I'm a Mack Weldon guy.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I like the fun patterns.
Yeah, see, I'm boring.
Oh, okay.
I need.
So you're married and you're still single. Not single, but yeah.
I need double XLs that fit well. That's my thing.
I see.
They really fit my body.
Well, oh, that's great. They know you.
You know my body.
Intimately, inside and out.
Two of my favorite people to talk about movies with. Your podcast, Two Old Queens, is a movie podcast.
Yes, I would say so. We're like, we have people on, they bring in a movie, and we have a very elaborate Byzantine scoring system, in which because we're trying to find the gayest movie ever made.
Right. And I have recorded an episode. I don't know if it's
very
out yet
recently.
When this one
comes.
Yeah, arguably minutes ago. But it was a lot of fun, and I recommend my listeners, if you're movie fans or fans of these guys or comedy in general, check it out.
If you like,
and you guys have a lot of great guests too.
We do. We've had Brian Safi, Nick Weiger, Lynn Parham.
A lot of wins. A lot of big V's.
A lot of big V's.
Big vaginas.
Big V's. The bigger the vagina, the better the guest. That's what they say.
That's what we always say.
We're gonna have a blue whale on next week to talk about One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
It'll be the episode we're going to talk about Free Willy. Okay.
So
it'll be the first episode with an echo. But we wanted to talk movies because, again, as I just said, you're two of my favorite people to talk about movies with. Mm-hmm. You see a ton of movies.
I see a lot. We
and
try.
We're winding down summer, which breaks my heart a little bit.
Sure.
And this... I saw like a back to school commercial the other day and got nauseous.
Kids are back to school now. They're already back to school.
It fucked me up though. Like it's seeing that the ads, I was like, oh, I said to Tiff, I was like, our life is crazy right now. We're like saving up for a house, doing IVF, trying to get pregnant, like all this complicated shit. And I said, and I will take this over having to go back to school in September over any day.
You do not want to buy a new Trapper Keeper.
No, I do not want
to
go.
I used to love getting new school supplies. That's the best part.
I didn't want to go back to school. The summer fucking rules.
I love getting new textbooks. I love like wrapping them in
grocery bags.
My dad did wrap all our textbooks in paper bags. That was a big thing. Or newspaper.
Sure, classy.
Yeah, classy. When those kids started getting like those stretch book covers that were like neon translucent, I was like,
there's no heart to that.
Yeah, come on. Fuck you.
You snob.
But this has been a pretty good summer for movies. There's been some fun movies come out this summer.
Yeah, we had some real peaks. Yeah.
But then also I'm like a 50-50 on the movies I saw. Like I didn't see as many movies as I wanted to see. I missed like a few big ones that haven't gotten to VOD or video yet.
Oh, I see. VOD. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Video on demand.
You just demand it? Give me video. Now.
Siri, play movies. But let's talk a little bit about movies that we saw this summer John brought in a list of movies that came out this summer that we can maybe kick off with. Of course, the first one is Avengers Endgame.
I mean, I think that really did kick off the summer movie season. And to me, I think it was for all the like summer blockbustery ones. Like to me, I think that was the one I enjoyed the most.
I think it's been the most successful one in my book too.
I liked Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but calling that a blockbuster.
You know what I mean? For the summer, like that could have come out in the fall too.
Right. I'm thinking Avengers Endgame was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
Right.
And it was the kickoff of the summer movies, but it was probably the end of my like Marvel relationship.
They're going to get you back
you feel
in,
like
though.
You're not, you
I'm
don't
gonna
wanna,
probably
you've
see,
been like that for 5 years,
yeah,
though.
I'm probably going to see all the movies eventually, but I'm not going to be seeking them out. Like even the Marvel Phase 2 announcement slate, I was like,
is it phase two or isn't it like a phase?
It's phase five.
Five
is it phase five right now? Whatever the next phase is.
It's you like don't like that movies have phases now?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And like the list of movies, I'm like, oh, who wants to see this shit?
What is on that list? I haven't seen it.
Legend of Shang-Chi. Yes. There's a new Thor, Love and Thunder. Great logo. I sent you the logo.
How do you feel about that? I did like the Thor logo.
I'm glad they got Taika Waititi back. Yeah, I'm excited for that.
I'll gladly see another Thor movie.
Is Thor going to stay fat or is he going to be?
I think he'll probably slow him down. I don't know. I like that he's had this midlife crisis. He's been beaten and he's like,
I think it might start with that as like a, just a, to peg it to the real storyline. Then we'll see him improve his life.
Yeah. There's going
to
be a Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which I think I love that fucking title.
I love that title too. But like, all it just, and then there's like a Scarlet
Eternals,
Scarlet Witch and Vision movie, right?
TV series.
Scarlet Vision, which is a very weird title. Sounds like a TV setting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something that comes with your Magnavox.
Like you've got to watch Salmon King presents.
Yeah.
Scarlet Vision. Now
there's a Black Widow movie coming.
And a Black Widow movie. And a Loki series.
A Loki TV series, yeah. Which is going to be, I think, very like Doctor Who. He's going to have the, because he steals the Tesseract in Endgame, so now he can travel through time and space.
So
I think he's going to be using that time hopping.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Which I think could be fun.
All this stuff could be fun, but I don't feel the must-see it attitude anymore. I'm pumped for a new Thor, and I'm pumped to see Black Panther 2. But that's not even listed, right?
No, they haven't officially known. Oh, yeah. What about Mahershala Ali as Blade?
I love that. But I'm such a Wesley Snipes fan, but Mahershala is an amazing actor.
Yeah, you know.
But I would make Wesley Snipes the Whistler character if Wesley Snipes sure. would do it. I don't think he would.
You don't think?
I think Wesley Snipes doing? What is he doing? Is a good question.
He's writing books. He wrote a sci-fi novel called
The Talent
of
something.
God or something.
Yeah. The Talent of Ra or some shit. Yeah.
I really want to read it.
Me too. I also own Steven Seagal's book.
Sure. The Greats.
Just off Wesley Snipes, I just watched the Dolomite trailer this morning.
Oh, I saw that too. That looks fun.
That movie looks fun. I couldn't believe it. Eddie Murphy.
You didn't see it? Eddie Murphy in like a fun, almost has like a Bowfinger vibe. Like it looks like a light comedy.
Yeah, it's
biopic.
A light comedy based on the true story of the like creation of the Dolomite
Wesley
character.
Wesley Snipes, Titus Burgess is in it.
Okay. Yeah.
Bunch of fun people. And like looks now like I'm Eddie listening. Murphy's having fun.
Yeah, that's the thing that got me the most excited. I was like, this doesn't look depressing, right? For Eddie Murphy. Yeah. He's in like costume, but he's not playing every character.
Right? Nice change of pace for Eddie.
I loved Endgame. It was really fun.
Yeah, I thought they did a great job.
When they said on your left, I got chills.
That to me is the because I watched it a second time when they re-released it in with like extra stuff. When the extra stuff was not worth it, people were audibly mad.
Oh, they were?
Because it was just like nothing. But it was
spoil it a little bit. What was some of the extra stuff?
There's nothing to spoil. It's just like a scene of the Hulk before like you see him in the diner. It's like him rescuing people, but like the CG's not finished because it was a deleted scene. So it's just weird. Oh. And you're like, oh, but the guy, Mr. Winslow from Family Matters and Die Hard, he's in it.
Oh, Reginald Vell Johnson.
Yeah, Reginald Vell Johnson's in it. And like, so it's fun to see him. And then there's like a Stan Lee tribute.
Oh, okay. And
then they just showed like a scene from an upcoming scene from Spider-Man Far From Home.
Oh, okay.
So it was truly nothing. But also, you all just sat through a 3-hour movie.
Right. It's like, oh, this is bullshit. They added 4 minutes to this 2-hour
movie. People were sobbing during
The Stanley tribute?
No, the Iron Man's of Tony Stark's death. But I heard again, people had seen it. It's like people were, I hadn't heard like sobs in the theater like that in so long. But that part doesn't get to me. The part that gets to me is the on your left, the portals opening, and everyone showing up. And like, especially in light of like Game of Thrones kind of like fumbling their ending.
Right.
And that had just as much build up pretty much. I thought
it was the same weekend.
Yeah. It was the same.
That's right.
That was one of my best weekends of my life going into it and then leaving it. I was like, wait a minute, it's all right.
But I
gotta reevaluate
Avengers,
my priorities here.
Right. I thought Avengers really stuck the landing because, like, as someone who's 100%. Seen every single one
Hell
of these
yeah.
movies in the theater multiple times, like, it was like a fun greatest hits recap of everything I loved, which is just these characters.
Yeah,
people.
And then that on your left moment is
they
like,
all show up together. You're like, yes, this is what I've been waiting
this
for.
This is what the movie's got. This is what the series has to build to. Is everybody at once?
And
I didn't even hate the all female shot.
It's so great.
Yeah, it's fine.
I was thinking like my mom would love that. Like, does it make sense in like Battlefield tech? No, but who fucking cares?
Right.
It's just a fun
How
thing.
Do we get separated by gender on this battlefield?
Right.
It's like, ladies to the right, men to the left. That might be the quickest way to divide up your superheroes, though, because it's like, flyers high and runners low is the other one that makes the most sense.
Hawkeye a little towards the back.
Hawkeye still does way too well in this movie.
Well, he gets off for being a murderer. He's like murdering people.
Right.
And, like, nothing ever happens.
Yeah, he's like murdering back. He's like under the Dexter umbrella.
It would have made more sense for him to be the one to die, to sacrifice, because he like...
I couldn't believe that this movie featured a suicide off.
I think that's fun. I like that as an action sequence, though. Like,
yeah,
as an action, like, we're, no, I'm going to be the one to jump off this cliff. Like, that's a fun action. Like, yeah, you know, I
but it
that
is
fun.
Weird that they're competing to who kills themselves.
But they're both so noble.
Yeah. I want to get out of this contract.
Yeah, like, I have a more like it really. It should have ended with Jeremy Renner going like, "Well, your movie career is more promising," and shoving her off.
I got this album that nobody wants coming out. No. Jeremy Renner. Oh, Heaven is a State of Mind. I forget what the name is.
I like the Tony and Howard stuff, like the dad stuff. I thought that was a cool
moment. Well, that's right up your alley.
Right. Yeah. I thought that was a cool moment in the movie. The cap on cap stuff was fine.
I thought that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought there was, I don't know. I never really liked
time travel. I talk about this all the time about comic books. I don't like time travel and multiverse stuff because it's removes all stakes.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, well, just go back in time and fix it. It's like, oh, okay.
Okay. So nothing matters. So nothing, okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, go fix Scarlett Johansson's death. Go bring Black Widow back to life. Yeah. And like Thanos didn't feel as threatening. You know what I mean? Like, I really enjoyed the movie, but there was no way they were going to make sense of like the power dynamics by the end of the movie to me.
Sure.
Because the whole movie, like, Thanos is no different than when Ronan was in the movie than when so-and-so, than right, when so-and-so.
He just has a bigger army, I guess.
Yeah. He just has more things.
Got more things, got more accessories, got a nice helmet.
And we have to decide why Captain Marvel isn't there just annihilating everyone. She's right.
The universe is really big.
Yeah. I'm in space.
BRB.
I'm on a local.
I'm stuck behind a big slow-ass space freighter. I'll be right there. I saw Captain Marvel after I saw Endgame.
Okay. Yeah. Was that confusing?
I was so lost. I thought Captain Marvel was fine.
Yeah, I agree. It was okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't great.
It didn't. But that's how I've been feeling about, like, for the last couple years.
Well, there's
been,
the sameness, like, to fine, a lot of them.
But, like, right. Black Panther and Thor Ragnarok popped for me more than the
but
other.
But I think, like, I texted this to you, like, in regards to, like, Hobbs and Shaw. We're jumping around now. Mm-hmm. But Hobbs and Shaw, like, the plot of that was so nothing. Like, oh, here's a bad guy, and they're just going to chase. And since The Rock can never lose a fight, they're just going to be separated by a wall or something and get away. But there's no, like, plot turn. Nothing ever happens that is ever a surprise. But at least in Captain Marvel, you find, oh, the Skrulls are actually good.
Right,
or like in the first Spider-Man, you find out, like, oh, he's dating the daughter
Vulture's
of Vulture.
Daughter, yeah.
Like, there's things they still throw you curveball. And like in the new one, Mysterio is like the bad guy. Well, if you had been an idiot not to know that, still, like, there's still like half at mid second act turns that.
Right.
Whereas Hobbs and Shaw was just like nothing.
Hobbs and Shaw was upsetting to me.
Yeah, it is upsetting.
Because I was pumped for it. I was excited for it. But I have Rock fatigue.
I can see that. Because he's very the same a lot, too.
He's very the same.
He plays a lot of the same notes.
I don't like The Rock as a romantic lead. At least...
Who is attracted to him?
I would like to see him...
Oh, I would fuck The Rock.
Yeah. I think men are more likely to want to fuck The Rock. I think The Rock might be more likely to fuck men than...
Oh, really?
What do you know? What's hiding under that rock?
Does he have any heterosexual chemistry in a film ever? He had more chemistry
just
with
Jason Statham.
Right. They he has more chemistry with them, with Vin Diesel. And he has more sexual tension with Vin. When he is like, when Vanessa Kirby is like smirking at him, I'm like,
I feel bad for her.
I feel really bad. I said this on, I'm repeating myself on other podcasts, but like this giant hairless freak is like, you're like, she's like, ooh, he's actually interesting. It's like, she's like a fucking member of MI6. Like, she's a total badass. She's
like,
wait a minute. This giant freak who has no hair and is the color of like a nice cup of coffee, I'm into.
He probably has no hobbies.
Right. Yeah. Well,
all he does is work out and drink raw eggs.
Right.
Fun fact about that movie, the actress who plays his mother... 16 years younger than him.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
And Vanessa Kirby and Jason Statham, 20 years apart.
I think it's 30 years apart.
Is it? It's like 28 or something.
Those flashbacks where they show them as like a couple years apart as kids.
Yeah. I mean, and Statham looks wildly older than her.
Yeah.
You don't have to have the flashback to kid stuff. You can just have them be like,
not needed at
yeah,
all.
Yeah. You could just be like, it's my kid sister. The dynamic remains the same.
And watching that movie, like, it was just like all the CG, like, action sequences. I mean, Marvel movies just as guilty of this, but it made me like really appreciate Speed Racer. Because, like, if you're going to use CG just use it and do something fucking crazy
right.
we can't see in real life. But when you're like trying to thread this needle of like grounded action and like really crazy CG, like it just doesn't work. Like just go fucking, you're animating this, so go crazy.
I know.
Just be really stylized.
I hated how dumb Hobbs and Shaw treated the audience too.
It was
everything is explained. Like there's literally a moment when it's like they're going to attack right before dawn, and when they do that, we're gonna take them here, we're gonna take them here, we're gonna do this, and we're gonna do this, and then this is the last stand here. And then during the action sequence, you're like, take them to the ring of fire. Now it's time to go for the last stand. And there's literally lines like, he's over there. That's the bad guy. They've got us surrounded. It's like, all right, we fucking get it. We can figure this movie out. The whole linking up of all the trucks and shit. Like, it's like, who is this movie? And Roger said this first. It's like, my brother's the best engineer there is. We go there and it's like, no, he's a mechanic.
He says, my brother's the best mechanic.
Right. And that's fine. And we can make that leap. But now he's like making a technology, like a technological advancement.
He's got a 3D printer,
right.
I guess.
Yeah. Right. I love that part. They're like, we don't have time. He's like, all right, I guess we'll try. Yeah. And then it works perfectly.
Oh, so you guys went legit. So nobody's really a complicated character in this movie. Perfect.
Are you excited for more? Because there's going to be a million more Fast and Furious movies.
I'm excited to go back
to the Fast and Furious part of it.
Yeah, I never rewatch them. They don't really stick with me.
Like,
they used to be my antidote to my chaser for Marvel movies, where I'd be like, this is fun and silly, and at least it's like.
But they used to have real stunts too.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Like 5, 6, and 7, I feel like, were the pinnacle.
Yes, I think 5 was the pinnacle where it's like, oh, this is an interesting way to kick it back up. And then I just cared
less.
They
get more CG heavy.
And then they just get like, it's more and more arbitrary. And then everyone needs like everyone needs to make a joke. That's what I hated most about Hobbs and Shaw was they thought they were so funny.
I know.
And it was upsetting. Like, I think it's Fast and the Furious uses humor a little better, but this had a lot of like Apatow level, like 3-minute riffs back and
forth.
Did you
see though? There's like 4 bonus scenes, none of which are funny.
Oh,
did you sit through any of them?
I stayed for
tons
of.
There's the one at the very end that's just more Ryan Reynolds making more jokes.
I'm a Ryan Reynolds apologist, and he was awful in this movie.
I think he just wants to do like another action series where he could show his face.
Right.
You know, because he's basically Deadpool in this.
Yeah, Rob Delaney and Kevin Hart are like,
yeah, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, what are you doing in this movie? They're like, they are people who are objectively funny, and they are some.
Yeah.
And so many arbitrary, like, also as part, like, so many arbitrary conceits. I love the idea that like we can shut down weapons.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But then it's weirdly anti-gun in that moment, despite so many guns.
Yeah.
But it's like, we have 7 minutes. They're like, the guns are down for how long? We have no idea. All right.
10 minutes, I guess. And then there's an evil corporation or organization that wants to take over the world because they're very pro human like testing with robots cybernetics, I guess. Like that's.
They believe that's the next stage of evolution.
Who are these people?
It's Kurt Russell, right?
Or is it Charlize Theron?
Oh, okay. Yeah,
Or is it someone they haven't cast yet because they're still doing contract negotiations, probably.
Yeah. Or is it someone, it's an even bigger surprise.
Like, are we sick of, like, have you seen the preview for Gemini Man? The Will
I'm
Smith,
sick of
where
that
older and young. There's an older and younger.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of these evil organizations that have their tendrils and everything, or can do anything.
You know what conceit I'm tired of that's in this movie and also my favorite's Mission Impossible? It's like your main heroes being burned and have to be like, the government thinks you're bad now.
Right.
It's that happens to the Ethan Hunt move. It happens to Ethan Hunt in every movie.
But in Hobbs and Shaw, the evil corporation in Hobbs and Shaw, like, gets the media to say that Hobbs and Shaw are bad, but they're working for the U.S. government and the British. Can't the government just come on and say, oh, hey, you guys are wrong.
Right.
We're telling you they're not guilty.
Right.
Wouldn't that be the easiest fix?
The other thing that
also never played into any of the plot.
No, it didn't matter. It was just so that they couldn't have backup that wasn't Samoan.
Right?
They need to have exclusively.
Which you couldn't figure that out anyways.
No, there was no other conceit to get
you
there.
No way to do that.
The other thing this movie does that I think Black Panther accidentally did to the Marvel franchise, this does to the Fast and Furious franchise, establishing this level of technology in this movie, making this, and that there's an organization that has full control of the media.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That breaks the world.
That's
that Fast and Furious.
Now.
Yeah.
Like anything can happen, so nothing really matters.
Right. I think that's what happened with like Wakanda, the technology is so advanced that it's like, now you don't even need to be a superhero anymore in that, in the Marvel world, because Wakandan technology is like, brings people back to life, does this, protects you from whatever.
But isn't being a superhero about the choices you make? Hasn't Spider-Man taught you anything?
It's about the man in the suit, not the suit on the man.
Power comes great responsibility.
I haven't seen Far From Home. How was it?
I had a great time. Yeah, it's like a super fun, breezy. Jake Gyllenhaal's like really great.
I loved Homecoming.
I think this is maybe better. It's just like, I like these teenagers in Far From Home more than I like the ones in Booksmart. Because the Booksmart ones were like, so like, you could tell they were written by adults and who had a real boner for Ivy League schools.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
This one, the Far From Home kids were like awkward and like they were just nervous about their first kiss, period.
Right.
And I just found them a lot more relatable.
Yeah. I enjoyed Booksmart. I thought it was funny, but you're right. Like, it didn't stick with me at all. Like, it felt like it was super bad, but super bad leveled me in a way.
To me, Booksmart felt like, oh, women can be just as crazy and crass as boys, which is like, sure. But it didn't feel like, oh, this is like, it didn't feel like a woman's version of that story.
Right.
Even though Olivia Wilde directed, and I don't know who wrote it. But to me, it just felt like we can be as gross as boys. It felt like we can do super bad. And it's like, sure, but why don't you do what your movie is?
Yeah.
As opposed to trying to show that you could do the other kind of movie.
I thought the movie had a lot of good laughs, but you're right. The whole thing where it's revealed, like, I like the reveal that everyone's going to an Ivy League school. Like, that's like a fun moment, but it is weird to tie that much.
You only respect people when you learn they go to an Ivy League school. Well, fuck you, you elitist piece of shit.
Yeah, I do. They speak that a little bit in the movie that it ends up like, wait, you're the monster.
Yeah. Right.
Hi, do you have stress, anxiety, chronic pain, or trouble sleeping at least once a week? Yeah, I know you probably do because you're a human being. This happens to all of us. I specifically got a little stress when you're a freelancer and you're trying to make your life get together and save up to buy a house and be an adult man. It's stressful. Anxiety, working in this business and, not having full-blown self-esteem can cause that. Chronic pain, less an issue for me, but I do have trouble sleeping once a week. I have trouble sleeping at least once a week, but what you can do for that is try to treat it with CBD. I know what you're saying. I've heard CBD 100 times. Well, Feels, F-E-A-L-S, is a premium CBD delivered directly to your doorstep. It naturally helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeping. It's very easy. You just put a few drops under your tongue. I've been doing some big doses under my tongue before I go to sleep, and it's truly been helping me. You place just a few drops, and you feel the difference within minutes. It's very easy to use, but here's the thing. Not everyone fully understands CBD, and people get a little scared, but there's no high, there's no hangover, there's no addiction. But look, Feels will even hook you up with a free CBD hotline and text message support to help you guide your personal experience. So join the Feels community. Get Feels delivered to your door every month. We're talking high quality CBD oil. So Feels has me feeling my best every day, and it can help you too. Become a member today by going to feels.com/mighty, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/mighty to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with shipping. Feels.com/mighty. I'm actually going to go put some drops under my tongue right now before I head to the pool. Guys, football, it's a new season. Antonio Brown's on the Raiders. Le'Veon Bell is with the Jets. Odell Beckham is in Cleveland. That one hurts the most for your Giants fan right here. The one thing that hasn't changed, where I'm putting my money down on all the games. MyBookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. MyBookie has better bonuses and more prop bets than any other sports book, period. This year, they're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. I don't fully know what that means, but it sounds exciting if you're into that. First place is guaranteed to win at least 100 grand and only costs 100 bucks to enter. Okay, well, maybe I'll take a look at what that is, because 100K would be nice. All you got to do is pick 5 NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. Guys, MyBookie, they've been sponsoring the podcast for a while. A lot of people seem to really enjoy using them. You bet, you win, they pay. That's like all you need to ask for from MyBookie. MyBookie has live in-game betting on every NFL game. They have the most rewarding player perks, fantasy guys, whatever. You can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Up to $1,000 first deposit bonus, double your first deposit. Use promo code MIGHTY, M-I-G-H-T-Y, to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's M-Y-B-O-O-K-I-E. And don't forget to use the promo code MIGHTY when creating your account to claim the bonus. Bet, win, get paid. But, wait, Hobbs and Shaw, Booksmart.
Far from Home.
Far from home. We've connected all these. So
yeah,
far
from Home. Really liked it.
On the shared universe.
The extended Booksmart universe, of course.
Did you see Palms?
No, I did not see Palms.
I didn't either. Keaton starts a cheerleading squad with a bunch of old ladies in a retirement home.
Oh, wow. It's like the...
I saw in the theaters. Not very good.
No. Huh. Okay.
I wanted to
crazy.
Like it. I thought it'd be fun in a bad way. You know what I mean? But no, it was
kind of dull.
She just very... It's a very rare, like, angry performance from Diane Keaton.
Oh, weird.
Where, like, she's just bitter that she's in this retirement home that she chose to go to for no reason. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I cannot recommend... I recommend the first 30 minutes of Book Club instead for some of the worst Photoshop you've ever seen.
Really? Oh, yeah, it's like all on green screen, that movie, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, also, they show flashbacks of the main characters all together throughout their lives. And it's just, though, why can movies not do Photoshop?
Right.
Correct. It always looks terrible.
It's real. That is weird. Wait, Book Club, is the book like 50 Shades
it
of
is
Grey?
50 Shades of Grey.
That makes what it else to talk so about? Dated.
No matter what.
No, I disagree. That book is universal.
Iconic.
Stand the test of time.
It's just so funny. And then it's like, that was a movie also, so it feels weird to make a movie
right.
about, like what? Imagine, like, making a movie where about the premise is, like, people reading Silence of the Lambs.
It's like, sure, right.
It's like, wait.
Have you heard about the Da Vinci Code?
That would be a really funny movie. Let's make Book Club, but it's all older men reading the Da Vinci Code.
A lot of facts.
And reconnecting.
The only thing I remember about the Da Vinci Code is he includes in the prose, like, a hyperlink to something that you're supposed to check out. Like, it's like, what is
in a
book?
Printed book?
In a printed book, I have to, like, write. And also, why are you including a link to something in your book, you idiot? And also, the girl's horrified when she finds out her uncle's having an orgy. And, like, this man who helped raise her, she shuts out of her life forever because she catches him having an orgy. It's not like he invited her to the orgy. She stumbled upon it. Let him have his life. That's what I remember about Da Vinci Code.
I remember Opus Dei, the albino
Day's brother.
No. Opus Dei in the motherfucking time. Yeah. Opus Dei, I think, is the organization of monks that he's part of.
Apparently, like, tours to Rome, like, skyrocketed after the Da Vinci Code.
See, that's like, that's kind of what's weirdly fun about, like,
I know.
That book is like a beach page turning piece of, like, it's very good at making you want to read the next chapter. It's
right.
Like just cliffhanger after cliffhanger.
Like
after
every chapter is like 3 pages.
Yeah, and then it ends with like, and then he turned the corner.
And the next chapter. There was a subway
turning the page.
And then it jumps to another like character's POV after that.
But apparently, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood made it like it's now like impossible to get a reservation at Musson Frank's or at
El Coyote.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, El Coyote's not very good, though.
No, it's not very good, but it's close.
Worst guacamole I've ever had in my life.
It's close to where I live. They have pretty solid nachos, though.
The nachos are good.
Yeah, yeah. I eat there a lot because I go there before I go to the New Beverly while we're talking about QT.
Okay.
Because it's not too far, as we learn in the movie.
You see it right down the street.
Yeah. But yeah, Musso and Frank's, I would imagine, is blowing up right now.
I've never been there. Have you ever eaten there?
No.
I did, yeah.
How was it?
I mean, it's like you're all... It's what it seems like. It's like an old classic, like Hollywood, where like you want a martini, you want some like.
I go to Craig's in like WeHo Beverly Hills, and that's sort of that too.
Okay,
yeah.
That's the most celebrity sightings I've seen in one place was going to Craig's.
Really?
Yeah. Who'd you see?
I saw Sam Jackson.
Whoa, that's a good one.
Oh, you know him well enough to call him Sam?
Yes. Oh, no, this is Sam Jackson. He's my barber.
Oh, that's
Samuel L. Jackson. I saw Samuel L. Jackson. I saw. Who's the woman from The Help?
Octavia Spencer.
Samuel L. Jackson got up from his table and sat at her table for a second to talk to her. And also at the restaurant at that moment was John Turturro, too.
Wow. Ooh, that's really great.
Three, like, real. And they're not like attention-grabbing, like attention-hog right. celebrities. I mean, maybe Samuel L. Jackson is, but,
but he's
they're not
it.
Like paparazzi. They're not people who are trying to be seen,
right?
Which I thought was cool. So I highly recommend Craig's for like overpriced.
One of my favorite celebrities. I was at the ArcLight Hollywood, and then I saw Topher Grace like just sitting on a bench by himself, and then like a bunch of teenage girls walked up to him. And then handed him a camera and asked him to take a picture of the three of them.
Oh, that's brilliant. Amazing. Do you think they knew that that was Topher Grace?
I think they had no idea.
That's perfect.
Topher Grace, big movie guy.
He does all those weird re-edits.
Yeah, he edited the three prequels into one 2.5-hour movie or something right. like that. It was like the big they call it the Topher Grace cut is what they right. refer to it as.
Is that viewable?
I think so. You have to like find it, but
that's
yeah.
on Vimeo,
you have
I think.
To find it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's like they're promoting it. Like,
sure.
Yeah, you have to do
it. You have a Vimeo account. You could probably do it.
Okay. I think I have a Vimeo account.
I think he also recut like The Hobbit.
Oh, did he do
those,
that?
Those like 9-hour movies into like one 3-hour
yeah. yeah.
movie.
He's just like, yeah, I can streamline this.
He's got nothing but time.
Just sitting on collecting his 70 show residuals.
To be an editor for their movie? Anyone? Here's my reel.
Avail. Let's keep talking about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I'm
loved
curious what
it.
You guys
I loved it.
I thought it was great.
We all loved it.
I yeah. truly loved it. It's. I've said this to a lot of people. It's made for me in a way where it's
absolutely.
Like I love movies.
Sure.
It's like about an actor who's not sure if he's still good, and like
the world
there are
is
younger people coming up
him.
And blowing
yeah,
the
yeah,
other
yeah.
And I'm like, maybe I'm not, you know. And it's like I just fucking it hit me so hard. Like the sequence when they're watching his FBI clip, and they're he's like, that guy's an asshole. This guy's actually pretty good in this scene. Like that shit is so real. It's so funny to me when he's studying his lines and he's doing the Mexican accent for the other characters. No. That shit is fucking hysterical. So much of that movie is really funny, and so much of it is like, I wish I was Cliff Booth porn. Like, I want to be Brad Pitt in that movie. So, I mean, I want to be Brad Pitt in any movie.
Sure,
but
sure.
They Maybe ramp not 12 it up monkeys. In this movie. Like, the whole rooftop sequence.
Oh, my God.
When he parkours like, onto the roof.
That's amazing.
No, take off your shirt.
Yeah.
No reason. Just take it off.
And then he goes into a flashback, into another flashback. And then when he comes out of it, he's like, oh, yeah, I guess I am an asshole.
Because he is like a fucked up, dark guy.
Well, yeah. that's the defense I've been using to a lot of people who are like glorifies white men save the day and white men are, and I'm like, these guys are throughout the entire movie being called losers by everyone that isn't them. Like,
right.
Their lives are sad. Like
Respite lives in a trailer.
Yeah, he lives in a trailer. He is a murderer, potentially murdered his wife. That I was roaring during that.
Of course.
And her name was Natalie.
Natalie.
Like, that's so fucking funny to me.
That's wild. But I feel like that was like there, because there are those Hollywood stories of like someone allegedly they heard a story about this guy who did this thing, but no one really knows for sure what happened. And like we kind of know just about as much as what everyone else in the movie knows.
Right, right. And I love that, like, they're like, when they talk about Cliff, they're like, he creeps me out, man. Like,
yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, he is creepy. He's like, he's got PTSD. He's like a Green Beret or whatever. He may have murdered his wife. He gets in a fist fight with Bruce Lee.
Right. I love also that it was just like 2 hours of just like a hangout. I love like a hangout where there's no plot really. You're just kind of seeing everyone move about their day and what their daily lives are like. And it really makes you want to drive in LA.
I can't believe a movie that glorifies driving on three different highways.
My God.
Like that's a true nightmare for like LA people. But I could have watched 2 hours of Brad Pitt, his forearm in the window and him just driving, right?
And everyone drives so aggressively.
Yeah, that's also a little funny
a
gag.
Wild driver.
It is a funny gag that every time they drive, it's like insane. I also love the moment when Pussycat goes, fuck you, pig. And Brad Pitt goes, ho, ho, ho. Like, this is trouble. Like, yeah. I just love it. Such a real reaction. He's like, I guess I'm picking her up, but oh boy.
What am I doing? Yeah.
I thought the violence at the end was like so. At first I was like, oh, I wasn't laughing. I was like, this is so much.
Oh, I
it's
was
so.
Oh, I started laughing.
I started laughing the second he threw the dog food. It was so fucking cool to me.
No, it's. I don't know. It wasn't the same as like Inglourious Basterds, where it's like a bunch of Nazis who've already like perpetuated a Holocaust.
Right, right.
And it is like just this is a man beating up
Yeah, but
three teenagers essentially, right, except for Tex. I didn't feel bad for Tex at all.
And two of them are women. Yeah,
and they're very tiny girls.
But like we knew, like in reality, who they were people who were about to go murder people. So I think that wasn't like.
I think that's what Quentin is playing on there.
I know. That's what he's using to get away with.
Sympathize with them, and then you're like, wait, it's kind of fucked up. But they are murderers. But they are young girls.
Right.
And this dog is tearing. Like the sound of that happening in the background the whole time is so like while the rest of the action is going on, you just hear like. Like it's Leo's reaction to when she comes stumbling out of the.
This is quite a summer for blow torches.
Oh yeah, big flamethrower season.
What else was the other?
Hobbs and Shaw had one.
There was.
Yeah, there was a big because I saw it yesterday and I was like, oh, another flamethrower.
Yeah, wait, there was a flamethrower in yesterday. Who had it? Not yesterday. Yeah. In the movie yesterday, he's like, you don't remember the Beatles?
That's why there's no Beatles? He torches the Beatles.
I think QT uses the whole buffalo in that movie, too. Everything that's set up is used.
Yes, absolutely.
The acid cigarette, the blah, blah, blah. Like, every little thing is
food,
used.
Yeah, the dog everything. Food,
yeah. The fucking, when he takes a hit of the acid cigarette and he's like, the train has left the station. It's like such a fucking cool shit.
Don't you just want to live in that house?
Oh my God.
I would live in his fucking trailer. Not probably, like, 100 degrees in there. But
yeah, no thanks. I did want mac and cheese though.
Oh, I did want raccoon flavored dog for the good food for the bad dog.
I had just rewatched on the same day, Pulp Fiction and Inglorious Bastards.
Wow, that's quite a day.
It was great. I think Inglorious Bastards is my favorite of his.
Inglorious Bastards,
there's parts of Pulp Fiction where I'm like, ugh, I could probably do without that. Right. Like, I don't need Quentin Tarantino saying the N-word in a movie himself.
Yeah.
Well, like you see Quentin Tarantino's evolution of he's in one movie saying the N-word, then he's like, I can't do that. But keep Samuel making Jackson. Movies where other people say N-word, and then he gets to
maybe no.
Once upon a time, he's like, how about no N-words?
Yeah. Or black people.
Right. Well, that's the funny defense is like the reason there is no N-word in this movie is because there's no black people
because they don't exist. This Hollywood.
Right. I did, but I'd love that whenever they showed Sharon Tate her actual movie, they used the real clips. Like it's such like a fun way to redefine her as something other than a victim, and like we got it because we see her as an actual
really
actress
sweet and lovely.
It was so real. It was so like was she's so watching nice. It. She's like a little nervous. No one recognizes her. She watches it, and like when the people start laughing, you see her like open up.
Yeah,
and it also gives you because I truly did not see the ending coming, despite it being the Inglourious Basterds ending.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I was like, they're humanizing her in a way that I've never seen before.
Right.
Like, he played on the fact that we know what happens to her.
It would have been too much, I think, because that's the real story is too much.
Yeah.
Like, it's too, like, the actual violence at the end of the movie isn't as bad as what actually happened.
Right. That's the other thing. People are like, it's so violent. I'm like, these are people who wrote in, like, blood on the wall and shit.
Yeah, did things that were much worse.
I thought, like, my idea for the ending was that during the movie, I'm like, oh, it's going to be, like, the murder is happening, and these two guys are like, one's tripping balls and one's floating in the pool. And it's like, we're silly. And like, it's Hollywood is ending around us.
Sure.
And, you know, it'd be like some kind of weird comment. Like, we'd see in the background murder, and they're just like dancing by the pool.
I booked
whatever.
Apart.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. But then when it fucking, the way it went, I was like, holy. When Leonardo DiCaprio is yelling at them in the driveway, he's like, hey, Dennis Hopper, shut this smog machine off or whatever. And he picks up, and he's got the blender in his hand.
Margaritas is in.
There's something about frozen margaritas that just strikes me as like a 70s California thing.
It was like if you had the money to have a blender and
blender technology had advanced enough that you could do it. Yeah.
You had the money to have the blender, but also like Mexican food is like
was the new thing
is like a cuisine. It's like, he's worldly. He lives in Southern California and eats.
It's like
drinks.
Keto, the keto Kalen diet is right.
I'm listening to the Bruce Lee, Bruce Lee biography right now. So you saying keto sent me in a different direction.
Oh, that's a lot of greens.
Yeah. other things I loved about the movie, the Bruce Lee sequence is so fucking funny in this movie.
Right?
Yeah.
And people were complaining that he's arrogant, but apparently he was arrogant in real life.
His daughter has come out and says that's not true.
Yeah.
She's been very vocally anti that movie.
If anyone has a right to be arrogant, it's Bruce Lee.
He's arrogant.
But I don't think he was as a person.
He was.
Which is her point.
Oh, that's the thing. He really was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he truly, like, he was arrogant. I think they're more pissed that
He loses a round.
But Ryan Stanger,
because he gets right back up.
Ryan Stanger will bring it up. It's a stalemate.
Yeah, one guy wins, one guy.
So me, Ben, and Ryan on the Action Boys are obsessed with the Bruce Lee. The backlash to Bruce Lee because the fight scene is awesome. The whole thing is funny. Is like, yeah, if anybody kills somebody with their bare hands, they go to jail. Right. It's called manslaughter. And then he's in a tux and he's drinking milk and he takes his wig off and you realize he's wearing a wig. Yeah. And you're like, oh, this flashback is confusing. Then they fight and they have a stalemate. And that's what Stanger keeps saying. Ryan Stanger keeps going like, but he didn't lose.
He lost a round.
Yeah. And so we're obsessed with it. We find this interview of Quentin Tarantino in Russia promoting the movie. And someone asks him about that. And he says, the defense I would give that Quentin doesn't give is it's a fucking movie. Relax.
Sure,
like,
right.
But his argument is like, would Cliff Booth beat Bruce Lee in a fight? That's like asking, could Bruce Lee beat Dracula? They're fictional characters. You can make the rules. And he goes into this whole diatribe and it really is funny. He's like, okay, Kung Fu tournament in Madison Square Garden, Bruce Lee kicking Cliff Booth's ass. But Cliff Booth, I wrote him, he's a Green Beret. He's killed people. If they're in the jungle in the Philippines, Cliff Booth is killing Bruce Lee. And it was just like a really funny, like he was just like, it's a fucking movie. It's a character I created. We have to sell that this character is a total badass so we can kind of believe what better way. Like, that's what I think, and I know it's not my dad's legacy, but I'm like, you should be honored that your dad is being used as the tentpole to demonstrate that a character is a badass.
Right.
By being able to just stalemate with Bruce Lee, you understand that this guy's a total badass.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He's a badass.
And the Bruce Lee impression is spot on.
He's perfect.
That's a very good Bruce Lee.
But then Zoe Bell comes out screeching for the hills.
I love
her stunt work.
I love that Quentin likes her, but she is not a good actor.
She definitely was annoying.
Right. It felt so
it was written that way.
But it is written that like the guy's wife is annoying and even Kurt Russell doesn't want to deal with her. Yeah.
So that's the second annoying wife in this movie.
Of the two women. The rest of the women are murderers.
or actual victims in real life.
Right. When they show Sharon Tate pregnant, like in the time jump, you're like, oh no.
Yeah, so you're like,
oh, my stomach dropped.
That would have been too much. You couldn't show that. It would have been too much.
It would have been unnecessary.
People would have been so depressed. And right now it's like a fun movie.
Right. Also, the scene where he's looking for, when he meets Bruce Dern.
It's so foreboding. Yes.
And it's like you're all of a sudden like for it to end the way it ended, you're like, I can't believe how nervous I was this whole time. And it's just like a cheeky conversation with Bruce Dern.
But there's so many levels because they also like they make the movie itself plays as a Western, but they're in a world where they're making fake Westerns.
Right.
But then there's scenes where like Cliff goes to the Spawn Ranch and it feels like an actual Western again in a place where that was a fake Western. Like there's so many meta levels.
Well,
of
there's
reality.
That. Yeah. When like Leonardo DiCaprio's walking to set and he's like ready to be an actor, it's like a fucking Western, but because he's on a Western set in Western wardrobe. But he's like, Quentin is shooting it like he's just like walking in.
And I haven't stopped thinking about that shot of Tex when he's out when they tell him to come back to the ranch, where the camera follows the horse shooting this horse racing beautifully, and then like it pulls way back and you see him going through the center of the ranch and it looks amazing.
It looks fucking awesome.
Like nobody's, it's like there's no CG, like you just shoot real things and they look great.
Yeah, just.
And what's the last time you saw a movie where you didn't know what was, you had no idea what was going to happen?
I think that's why I like this movie so much.
Because you're seeing something original. Like so many things are just products or reboots and you kind of know the people. You know, they're giving you something that you, I remember that.
Yeah, you know these superheroes aren't going to die.
Right. This is the way to play on nostalgia rather than just rebooting spaghetti westerns.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, use them in the movie. Like this is like right in Quentin's wheelhouse for me too, of where he gets to do 8 different movie parodies. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Where you're like, yes, show me another, like your version. Show me Leonardo DiCaprio in The Great Escape.
That was fun. They did a great, that's like great CGI. It looked exactly like the 60s. That looks amazing.
I could talk about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood all day.
Nobody wants that?
No one does.
Should we go down the list?
Well, yeah, sure. I guess I'm the host of the podcast.
You're the host.
All right, so Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile.
Ted Bundy, Netflix.
It was a Ted Bundy movie.
Zac Efron didn't see it.
I did see it.
And
what'd you think? It's fine.
Okay.
I didn't see it.
Typical Netflix review of anything on Netflix.
It was medium fine. It was like watching a TV show by accident.
Glad I didn't pay for it.
I guess there were some things about Ted Bundy I didn't know. Like, he actually escaped from, like...
Yeah.
Like, that was like a fun moment. But it's... This is like Ted Bundy is like as Ferris Bueller in this movie a little bit. It's
like, you scamp.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, oh wait, he's a brutal monster.
Do you think looking back, like Ferris Bueller, has that aged well? You think, or if like you had to deal with the Ferris Bueller now, like, or is he annoying?
I think he's one of those things. Like in the movie, you're like, oh, this is what a delightful scamp. But in real life, you'd be like, fuck.
Yeah,
you.
If you're his parents.
You're so smarmy.
Or just like, you know, someone who has to deal with him in any way.
I watched that movie on Christmas Day in Paris 2 years ago in a movie theater.
What?
Yeah.
They were showing it in a movie theater in Paris? Yeah.
Well, because we were in Paris and we'd like walk past and we had no Christmas plans and we were like, oh, there's playing a movie on Christmas Day at this cool like Parisian cinema. So we just went and saw fucking Ferris Bueller's. It was awesome. Something you notice when you're watching the movie in France, he says, pardon my French twice in the movie before cursing. Pardon my French, Rooney Bertrand.
Did the audience like lose their mind? They were like, yeah.
It was funny because like there's like subtitles. So the lag, like me and Tiff are like ahead of the other people a little bit. So it was kind of like a really interesting thing like for that too. The reason that movie doesn't age well is because Jeffrey Jones is
an actual pedophile.
And he's like the principal?
Chasing a high school boy throughout the whole movie.
I'll make him behave.
The Intruder?
Dennis Quaid. I feel like I didn't see that one.
No, I did not see that.
I think it was he had owned a house. It was sold to other people, but he wanted his house back.
It's a real microcosm. I saw the trailer. And I was like, oh, this is a great like political allegory. Like white people, old white men not wanting to give up what's theirs, like refusing to let go and let other people have a share. You know, having letting a black couple live in his house. He couldn't fathom that, and so he was unable to let go. But that was my take. But apparently, the movie did not do that.
Next up is Long Shot.
Well, they got the long right.
Yeah.
I liked it. I was surprised it didn't do better.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to watching it again to see if I really...
Was it 2 hours and 5 minutes?
Yeah, unnecessary.
Every rom-com should be 97 minutes.
Yeah. I found this movie to be like... I love Seth Rogen, so that's definitely part of it. But this movie was... That movie was charming. It was cute.
It was cute. I fell asleep during the middle. During that second act is brutal.
I laughed a lot. I thought June Diane Raphael's character was amazing, and she played it so well.
Great.
Like just like the wild, intense bitch. It's so funny. And real hard laughs for a rom com. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like full blown. Like this. It's like a calm rom.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Putting the comedy before the horse.
Flipping it.
Well, a rom-com that's actually funny is
not just like a romantic,
wild. You know what I mean? Like that's like right for me because I love rom-coms. And if you're gonna ramp it up and try to make it as fun, like aim for such comedy in some scenes.
What's
like,
your favorite rom-com?
Would you call
Rambo rom-com?
Have you guys seen First Blood? About Time is maybe if you want to call that a rom-com, but that's more of just a romantic drama.
What's that one?
That's
is
the
that
one
old?
With,
is that with Rachel McAdams?
Yes. And what's his face? Donald Gleason and Bill
General
Nighy.
Hux?
Yeah. And Bill Nighy as his dad. It's like he has the ability to time travel and he uses it to like fall in love. It's a really good movie.
Wow.
That's one of my favorites. Underrated. I just watched The Proposal with our boy Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock.
Sure,
and
Sandra Bullock.
Still great. It's so fun.
I would go with Sleepless in Seattle.
That's a fucking great classic.
Yeah.
I gotta get back on my rom com game here.
Clueless is great.
Clueless would you call that a rom com?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She falls
love
in love.
Clueless.
Clueless is amazing.
I haven't rewatched Clueless since
I just
living
rewatched
in LA.
It a month ago.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Oh,
it really holds up.
I love watching movies that I saw when I was a kid that take place in LA, and now that I live
now
in LA,
I know it a little bit more.
I get it.
Even just rewatching Heat, which is like
so good.
All over the place in LA and parts of LA you never go to. It's just so cool to see. Yeah,
there's one I think it's called some Vivica A. Fox movie. like Love Don't Mean a Thing or something. But like the opening credits, like she arrives in LAX, drives through downtown, goes to Santa Monica. Like her route doesn't make any sense.
That's really funny. That's someone told me that once about the Rocky movies, that like if the running montage was true for Philadelphia locations, Rocky ran like 41 miles that day. Like, it's like that is that river that he's running in front of, and these things are 10 miles apart.
Well, that's montage. We play when we're in montage.
It's not the same day.
Dream logic to it.
Ugly Dolls.
Didn't see
Didn't see them too. Not that ugly from the trailers.
Yeah, they seem cute.
Yeah, they're cute. They're not ugly.
Detective Pikachu.
I did see that.
I did not.
I thought it was Ryan. I liked Ryan Reynolds in it.
Is he the voice?
He's the voice of Pikachu. And I was worried it's going to be, oh boy, it's going to be Deadpool snark. But it's not a lot of that.
Okay.
And I have never seen a Pokemon movie or anything, played a game. It's really weird, but I didn't want it not to be weird.
Oh yeah, I think I might watch it. It's on VOD, which
we're
in demand. Which I say a lot.
Interesting.
Now.
Wow.
Computer, play Pikachu.
It's fine. You'll be fine. I also nodded off during that one.
I don't even know what All Is True is.
Oh, that was like a Kenneth Branagh movie about like with Shakespeare and like. It was set in the past.
Did anyone see it?
I did not.
No. Okay. Nobody did.
Keep going.
I'm going to go item by item because it's funny to just be like, no, none of us saw it. The Hustle, 2019.
Oh, remake of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Yeah, that was that one.
The one with Rebel Wilson and your favorite, Anne Hathaway.
Oh, it's Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, but with women.
Women, yeah.
And yeah.
Oh, and I didn't even women. Like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels when it came out.
I don't remember. Frank Oz, though, he's no slouch, directed it.
He directed
not this one.
I was like, wow. Palms, we got our
Palms. I got to get the Palms.
Did you see Palms?
I did not see Palms.
Okay. Well, you and I will go see Palms.
Oh my God. What are you doing this afternoon? Going to see Palms.
It's on VOD.
Recording two podcasts and going to see Palms. Tolkien.
No.
Didn't see that one either.
Didn't
you?
See it. Had no desire.
No,
and I'm an actual
boring.
Tolkien. Like, I'm a fan. But I'm a fan of Tolkien's books. I don't give a shit about his, like, life.
Would you believe it? World War One, pretty rough.
Yeah.
Turns out it'll
those
have an effect on you.
Are bad. John Wick, Chapter 3.
Okay. Here we go. We
finally, light up the base.
In my comfort zone.
I like this movie.
I loved it.
More than two.
I think so.
Yeah, I think definitely. One was so good. Two was great. Two was so good. Three is great again.
Yeah.
I feel like the first opening 30 minutes, like it's pure adrenaline momentum and it's hard to top that after the movie.
Right.
But I thought Mark Dukakis, I thought he was very funny in
He's very good in this.
He was the villain, bald dude. Who was fan of John Wick.
It was a fun angle to play there.
And I love the mythology of, because usually these movies are like boring in between the action scenes.
Yes.
The mythology of the John Wick movie is so bonking wild that it's engaging.
If you like world building and action, this movie is always doing one of the two things.
Yeah. Right.
Like it's like I will say, if I had a criticism of the movie, and Ben Rogers pointed this out to me, and then when I rewatched it, it stuck out. Extended gunfights are not as fun as extended hand-to-hand combat.
Sure.
The gunfights are redundant. Repetitive.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's only so many times you can look over someone's shoulder and
shoot
at a wall.
You realize now, and this is, I'm quoting Ben here, but he's like, you realize why people have like dialogue in the middle of shooting scenes now, because when you don't, it's just people walking around firing indiscriminately.
It's like watching people play
nonstop.
Video game.
Yeah, exactly.
Great dogs. Halle Berry's a lot of fun. I was happy to see her.
I love, we learn a little bit more about John Wick's history, that he's like Belarusian.
Yeah.
I love when they're walking through the fight, like, and it's like the men are wrestling and the women are doing ballet, but everyone's killers.
Everyone in New York is seeming like half of population of New York is a hitman.
Right. I like that about these movies, that they just like let you extrapolate. Like, oh, also the fight against the fucking NBA guy in the opening
in the
fight. Boban, or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
That was a fucking awesome fight to open the movie.
Never want a book to the neck.
Yeah. Never. I love that. That's like in he does that in Bourne Identity too. Yeah. Hits him with a fucking textbook in the throat. Oof. A lot of great kills in this movie.
Out of focus axe throw is my favorite. I'm still thinking about
that. Oh, the one
that
comes into focus. Yeah.
All those knives.
It's just that's why you like a movie like that. Like in John Wick, is it one or two? I forget which one. Maybe it's two. It's two. In John Wick 2, when he goes to talk to the woman who's in like the tub, he has to kill her or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's two, yeah.
He sets up, like, he leaves his shotgun in one place, his machine gun place. Yeah, yeah. And then when they get to that, it's like the hall, it's lit by blue lighting, and you know he has multiple guns there, and there's tons of bad guys. It becomes like a video game logic where it's like, now I have this gun, I use it till I run out of bullets. Right, right. And right. I feel like the ultimate heightening of that is like, you're in a knife store.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
We're in a police museum. Go nuts. And there's a lot of funny stuff in the, like when he builds the hall gun to do one shot.
That's and right.
The guys are coming up the stairs.
And also beautifully shot, and like actual, because so much cinematography these days, you could tell it's just like white, glowy, a huge mm-hmm. white, glowy source
right.
that doesn't yeah. look anything like reality, but it's cheap and easy to light a big space like that.
Yeah.
But it never looks realistic at all. But the John Wick movies have like sourced lighting.
Yeah, that's like it's got like a little bit of that neo-noir feeling kind of yeah. thing where it's like a lot of blacks, a lot of raining, a lot of nighttime, but then like interesting light sources get like...
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then... I've never seen I don't think I've seen many movies where the main character cuts his own finger off.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
To get to that point, like walk in the desert, like all that shit is just like so wild. And now John Wick 4 is him and Larry Fishburne working together.
Going after the high table.
So fun. Boy. Do you think Ian McShane's not actually bad, right?
No, I think he knew because he knows he's wearing like bulletproof suit.
Right. And he knows there's only one way where he can keep his rep with the high table. And not kill John Wick. So
he's a political creature. Yeah. Ian McShane.
Jonathan. After watching John Wick 3, I did watch all of Deadwood. So I'm now diehard Ian McShane.
Are you going to watch that one episode of Game of Thrones again where he's like the weird cult leader acting coach? What is he? Like he's
in Game of Thrones, there's an acting coach.
He runs into like the Hound who's building a house.
He's got like a bunch of people they live in the field.
Forgot about that.
They're like a caravan.
I'm going to rewatch that. A Dog's Journey, also called John Wick 4. I did not see it.
I don't watch those dog porno movies.
Yeah, me neither. There's like, and there's cons. Now there seem to be like dog Christian movies coming out all the time.
Art of Racing in the Rain is the best one that just came out. They look better.
The Sun is also a star.
Young adults.
I think it's like a
We're old adults.
We're too old. As soon as I saw that trailer, just started screaming, "Too old!"
Thank you.
Next, Ariana Grande. Heard of her?
Aladdin.
Sure.
Did not see it.
I saw it.
It was fine. I actually thought the framing device was clever. That was sort of new.
Will Smith on a boat.
Yeah,
and he's like telling the story.
Yeah, but it's like he was the genie, but now because someone else. Because he was free, he lost his power. So now, like, he is like the person telling the story, but he's like immortal. Cool.
I hated Will Smith as the genie, though.
It was sort of silly.
It was really bad.
As a genie.
And like, it's like all these Disney remakes. It's worse than the original.
Yeah,
like,
they're just not necessary. It's what worse. It really comes down to.
Well, Disney. This is like they figured out a way to make more money than just opening the vault, right? Like Disney's always been doing. Like, how can we now we sell Bambi again? Like, you know, it's only a matter of time until we have a quote unquote live
action.
And also
Bambi. The original screenwriters aren't getting any money for these, which is real. And they're using direct lines and huge story points.
Well, it's also like, who directs these movies? Like John Favreau directed
Lion King.
Yeah. Jungle Book. Was Guy Ritchie.
Right. So these guys get a movie. They're getting paid $10 million to direct a movie where it's like, hey, animators,
doesn't matter.
Here's the source material. Make it this movie.
Yeah, and they're all saying, do you like this or this? That. Okay, great. What do you want to look like? Aladdin?
Great.
Booksmart, we talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine.
It was fine.
Yeah, I liked it. I think I saw it like a little late, so so much hype about it. And I saw it and I thought it was good, but I feel like it's not a movie that anyone's talking about
anymore.
I think
it had our cultivated Twitter feeds hype. Like our peers, mm-hmm. comedy people.
And yes, these movies should be being made.
Right, exactly.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I do like that this movie came out. And
it shouldn't be an event.
It was pretty funny. You know what I mean? Like, that's all.
It was in no way bad.
It had more laughs than these other movies that tout themselves as like actual. It had more.
Right.
I found it to be funnier than Game Night. Or Tag. Like, you know, those movies, like, I'm not complaining about those movies, but they're fine. Like, these big blockbuster comedies aren't funny either. Like, Booksmart is funnier than them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, just didn't do as well.
Mm-hmm.
Brightburn.
Oh, that's the James Gunn where it's like the fucked up Superman
evil
as
Superman.
A little kid.
Oh, okay.
Did you see it? I didn't see it. Did you like it?
I didn't see it. I didn't see
oh,
it.
Goodness. It didn't look that good. It was like James Gunn's brother, right? Like he, yeah. James Gunn produced it or something. Godzilla, King of Monsters.
I saw it and I totally forgot that I saw it until I saw this list.
Positive? Is that a positive review?
No, it was like really insufferable.
Oh,
hard to watch, real boring, a real slog.
Tommy Midge is in it though, right? Thomas Middleditch is in it?
He is. He is. Yes. Big part of that. Yeah, yeah. He is in it. Yeah.
So I will watch it when it's on VOD.
Okay.
So
far. Wow.
I'm not excited. I didn't like any of the Godzilla movies we've had lately.
No, I like the some of the action in the first one that came out a couple years ago. Like some of the action was
good. The Broderick
good.
One or the Bryan
no,
Cranston
no,
one?
No, the Bryan Cranston one. Like some of the shots were fun. There wasn't a Godzilla amount. But this one is just... It's just pointless and more organizations and just so many characters. And it's like, who cares? But none of this has any meaning whatsoever.
How about Ma?
I love
wanted,
Ma.
I wanted to see it so bad. I didn't
Ma's
get a chance.
Amazing.
To see it. Ma's really good. It's not as good as Get Out, but it's still very good.
My friend Scotty Landis wrote it, so I really wanted to see it too. I guess,
want a million more Ma movies.
It's the fucking, what are those? The Blooms are... They got
they're
shit figured
it.
Out. They got yeah. they got a fun little. They're putting out shit like at like a Netflix rate that, and their hit rate is like 85%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I think Ma's great.
Yeah, Ma's awesome. I can't wait to see it. Rocket Man.
Saw
I
it.
Really liked Rocket
That's
Man.
Fun.
I
want to see Shock. Rocket. We're really flipping the script here.
it is fun.
Yeah, I don't. Do I need a scene where he's actually hugging his literal inner child? No,
maybe not.
But
no.
Do I like that he turns into a rocket ship at one stage and launches into the space? Yes.
Yeah, I thought they were really like that movie was had a lot of fun with just being like a sort of theatrical.
Yeah,
movie.
Making a music video, like going like yeah, having yeah. fun with like using them creatively and not just doing like a dry. It does have those boring biopic moments.
Right, right.
Yeah, but I thought they had fun. It was fun with most of it. I didn't mind that it was sort of like. Not factually consistent or correct. Like he would sing songs. He's like, he didn't write that song at that point, or, you know, stuff like that.
Right, but I wish they had, almost had more
so
of
much
that. More,
yeah.
Like,
it was so much
crazier
fun.
Yeah. Like just like,
it was like, why couldn't Bohemian Rhapsody been this?
Oh God. I know. God. Bohemian Rhapsody. Upsetting. Dark Phoenix. I did not see.
I Ooh, saw it.
Not good.
It was better than Godzilla.
I don't know about okay, that. Okay. I will say this. I don't remember. I did see Godzilla. I don't remember anything about it. I remember Dark Phoenix, but everything I remember is like, oh, that was so stupid.
The X-Men movies have been bad for a little while.
This
though.
One was, they I thought this was, been. This is better than Apocalypse.
Okay. Apocalypse sure. was the worst one.
Apocalypse was, I would say maybe The Last Stand yeah. or X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Oh, okay,
I feel
yeah.
like the Dark Phoenix is not the worst. It's like maybe the fourth worst.
Yeah. X2
X-Men
is
movie. I would say Logan
considered.
Is probably the best.
Oh,
X-Men
all right.
Movie.
For you, yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
That's all part of it.
It's all yes. part of the universe.
I think Logan, we need, I don't hate to be the fucking old man here, but we need more R-rated action movies.
I mean, yes, sure. I would agree. But a lot of times, like when they say they're more adult, they're more immature because they're just gory and like
right,
swearing.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I think like,
but that, I like an adult theme, like a more mature theme.
Right.
You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
That's, but I mean, even just making a movie about a guy who has blades in his hands, PG-13 is
that seems
insane.
Weird.
Like,
yeah.
It was crazy right. to see like Wolverine. Oh, that is what happens if you put three unbreakable blades in a guy's
sure.
chest. Like, it's the first movie that featured
all
like
his
the
guts.
Actual danger of these.
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I want to see Cyclops burn a fucking hole in someone. Someone's like, oh! Like,
you want to revel in the gore.
Yeah. Well, like, or
where's
like,
the freezer burn?
Keep it like slightly realistic.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed Logan. Also, wasn't it wild in Logan when you just saw boobs in the limo scene? Like randomly, there's like a flash of the woman like
oh,
takes
yeah,
her tits
he's
out
like
and you're
when
like,
he's working.
Oh my God, right. The action movies, because I've been watching so many 80s and 90s action mm-hmm. movies, there's always like a chase scene through a strip club or something
yeah.
where it's like, just show some fucking
yeah.
tits.
Some tits
ass.
Yeah. I have to go pick up my daughter at the strip club.
Secret Life of Pets 2?
No, one.
Nope.
Late Night. Secret.
Did not
late
see Late Night.
No,
did not
see
it. I auditioned for it when Paul Feig was directing it. And I
okay.
thought had I auditioned for Paul. Thought it was going to go. Did not happen
I'm
for
sorry.
Me.
Oh, shit.
Dead Don't Die?
I'm sure they don't.
The Jim Jarmusch movie.
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
I keep getting that title confused with the Nicholas Refn movie series that's on Amazon. It's like,
oh, I don't know.
That one's like Too Dead to Die or something like that. Too Dead to Die.
You would think Bill Murray's a zombie from his performance.
Ooh.
Is he like, what's he like not phoned it in?
Yeah, I'd like to see him try.
I think if Bill Murray tried.
I'd like to sit Adam Sandler and Bill Murray down and be like, you know, you guys were great when you tried. Can we do that again?
Yeah. I liked Adam Sandler's stand up.
Doesn't matter.
His stand up special was awesome.
That was so funny and just silly. And
him.
Yeah, just
and
be
it wasn't
that.
Just like a shot in a vacation town with five of his friends and no jokes. Men in Black International.
Didn't see
I
it.
I saw it. I forgot it while I was watching it. It's like, right. It felt bad. Like, they had good talent. Great
I know
leads.
No one who's talking about it.
No one's talking
I've never about heard, it. I haven't heard anyone talk about it.
That's a real, I'm just sick of, I kind of sick of franchises.
And oh,
like,
me too.
Just do something. Yeah. I want to see something new.
But maybe like shit like this, like Men in Black International not doing well is a little bit of a sign that's like, it's
you
not
just
the franchise.
On.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because like, I love Chris Hemsworth and I love Tessa Thompson, but fucking Will Smith is like a star, you know, like
right.
And Will Smith, when the Men in Black movies were made, was huge.
I just don't think we have movie stars like that anymore.
No, Tom Cruise is the only one,
but he's one of the last ones.
Yeah. He's only does Mission Impossible movies now.
Right.
Shaft, I did not see.
I did not see it.
It didn't look bad. I was like kind of excited
by
it.
I almost wish that one was PG-13 because it's like a multi-generational comedy. Like the movie itself was multi-generational. It's like, well, why isn't this like something that the family can
right,
go?
Right. It's got a kid, a dad, and a grandpa. Yeah. It's like, let's get them all hanging out.
It felt weird. I was like, oh, and they're like, but they're like swearing a bunch. Maybe I'm a prude now. I don't know.
Weirdly, here's three movies in a row that all feature dolls. Child's Play, Toy Story 4, Annabelle Comes Home.
I saw them all.
Did not see Child's Play.
You didn't see Ugly Dolls.
I saw the line in Ugly Dolls. They're beautiful in each and every way. Child's Play's fun. Yeah. I didn't hate it. I thought it was fun. Annabelle's a real snooze.
Yeah, and that was really boring.
Toy Story 4 people really
liked. Toy Story
4
is great. I loved it.
I can't wait to see it.
I think John was middling on it.
I was kind of fun. I'm not crazy about the Toy Story movies in
Same.
General. Like, they're good. Like, they're, I mean, I think all the Pixar movies are good. Even the ones I don't like, I'm not, I never think like, oh, that's a bad movie.
Right.
But, and I, the same with this one, like there's definitely some funny parts, but part of me, I'm just like, I don't need to hang out with these characters anymore. And also Toy Story, I think has that thing that a lot of franchises have where it's just like, we have all of these characters. Plus we've added more characters in the second movie. Plus we added more characters in the third movie. Yeah. And we have to introduce some new characters in this one. And you're just like, I don't care.
Well, they have scaled down the number of characters from Toy Story 2. Because in Toy Story 3, there's even less than there were before. So obviously they do add more. But I don't think the number of characters have increased. It's not an end game situation. I thought Toy Story 4 functions as a nice epilogue. Like they weren't going for the heights of 3, the emotional intensity of 3.
Yeah.
So I felt this one does it. Wasn't reaching so hard.
Is it the last Toy Story?
Probably, maybe. Who knows?
I mean, why, they're never going to say yes.
Right, right.
I mean, they're always going to be like, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll do a live action Toy Story. And then.
Oh, right. We call it live action and it's just animated.
A different style of animation.
Yeah. Yesterday.
I haven't seen that one either.
I had no desire to see it.
I had no desire to see it either. It sounded cool.
It's like, who cares? We know. I'm always hearing about the Beatles. I never get a rest from the fucking Beatles. I love the Beatles, but can we not talk about the Beatles?
It does feel weird that like two old white men wrote a movie about like the Beatles in 2019.
What about Dire Straits? Where's their movie?
Pet Shop Boys. Would it kill you?
Yeah. Erasure. Now there's Erasure. The name's right in the...
We talked Spider-Man Far From Home and Midsommar. I did not see Crawl.
Loved Crawl.
I heard Crawl was great. Didn't see it.
I think you recommended Crawl to me previously.
Crawl's a good time in the movies. Yeah. At the movies.
I want to see Crawl.
You get some good.
It did seem fun because it also seemed like, when was the last time I saw like an alligator?
Right. When was the last time you saw an alligator movie? It's the guy. Did you see
Lake Placid?
Oh, okay. Did you see Piranha 3D?
No.
Oh, you
well, yes,
see.
I did.
Piranha 3D is great.
Didn't
same
like
director.
James Cameron direct like Piranha 2 or
he
something?
He did Piranha 2 The Awakening where they sprout wings where they fly.
So James Cameron.
Stuber.
I didn't see
Miss
Stuber.
Did not
well.
See Stuber. Yeah.
I can't
saw
get
the trailer
I
so many times.
I see the ads everywhere still.
Yeah, that movie suffered from too much marketing, I feel like.
Well, I guess it was one of the Fox ones right before when Disney bought them. So it was like a weird limbo. I think nobody knew what to do or who was signing the checks.
I mean, I love Kumail and I love Batista, so I would be down to see it.
Sure. Yeah.
But I just like...
The trailer just made it seem like dumb.
Yeah. Like just it did not feel exciting, and the marketing pushed behind it, and then it was too much, and then it did like the opposite effect where I was like, I'm tired.
I've seen it already.
Stupor.
Yeah.
Let me guess, stand up friends.
Yeah, I'm on a limb here. Art of Self Defense. I've heard good things, but I haven't seen it yet.
I didn't see
it. The same thing, but yeah. I have not seen
no,
it.
No, nothing.
Lion King.
Didn't see it. Listen to the soundtrack on Spotify. Their take on Be Prepared is a crime. There's no fun. Oh. They cut out like a minute from it. That was the rumor I heard, but I guess it was never true.
Oh.
But it's everything is worse than the original.
Of course. Of course it is.
But honestly, I never loved The Lion King. Like once Simba grows up, I'm less interested.
Yeah, okay. The Lion King is like a really good first half hour. Yeah.
Yeah.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw. We talked about The Farewell. I haven't seen yet, but I
haven't
seen
it. Everyone heard it's great.
Everyone's
really,
it.
Really wonderful. Yeah. That one I want to see.
As a big star.
Talking about Bloom always dropping the hammer and kicking ass. A24 always kicks ass.
Yeah, definitely.
A24 is a high hit rate for me.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dora and the Lost City of Gold.
Getting decent reviews, but I had never watched Dora, if you can believe it.
Right. It's also one of those things where I'm like, that movie is definitely not for me.
And that's okay. That's okay. Not everything needs to be for me.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no one's going to be mad that I didn't go see Dora. Like, Brian Banks, don't even know what that is.
That's a sports movie.
It's a sports movie where he was falsely, he's from the trailer, he's like falsely accused of a crime.
Oh,
then
he
gets released and it's like, he never gets a football career, and it's a true story. Then I read about it, and he's accused of sexual assault.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, good. Finally, a movie about sexual assault where the woman is a liar.
The protagonist is a falsely accused assault.
That's the narrative we need to tell.
The Kitchen. People are not liking
people are bitching about that Kitchen.
They were pitching Kitchen pretty hard, but people will be bitching about Kitchen these days.
You got me in stitching.
Hey, and listeners, no snitching. The Kitchen sounded cool when I heard the premise
of it.
But did you
see Widows?
Yeah.
Widows was great.
Widows was amazing.
Widows was really good. I liked Widows.
That's a real movie.
Yeah. Widows was awesome. Widows was one of those movies where I didn't know what was going to happen a lot of the times, which
is that what you want?
Yeah, also, absolutely.
It's like you're in a capable hands of like a real director. It doesn't look like a glorified TV show.
Yes.
Like things are actually cinematic.
Yeah. That's
God
how
forbid.
I feel. Speaking of cinematic, we got Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark and the Angry Birds movie too.
Oh, I didn't see Angry Birds too, but I saw Scary Stories.
And it was fun?
It's fun. Like the kids are kind of unlikable. One of the heroes, his first action in the movie is literally fishing turds out of a toilet.
Okay.
Right? Or like a prank later on. But
that's like Save the Cat. They say Save the Turd.
Save the Scat. but the scares are real. I was like, it's fun. It's PG-13 and there's not like, it's not gory, like bloody, but like the suspense is like this actual really tense moment. So I was like, I'm glad there's like something for kids that
like
they
a
can
horror
actually
movie
for youths.
For like a slumber for the youths.
And I think they're making a bunch of them, right?
Probably.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Probably.
See how it does.
We'll see how it does.
Angry Bird movie 2, we did not see. Where'd You Go, Bernadette? I don't think
these movies
out yet.
Have not come out.
Yeah, the last couple movies on the, or that's
so these
like
aren't
the rest
out yet.
Of the
so
movies.
How do we feel? Are we excited about this? I know nothing about Bernadette.
It's based on a very popular book.
Oh, right.
I don't know. It was directed by Richard Linklater, who's no slouch.
Okay. Yeah. I've liked
it. There's a lot of good parts to it, but there's something about the
and
trailer
the lead,
that feels very like...
Someone... Is
Kate
it,
Blanchett?
Kate Blanchett.
Isn't she someone?
Yeah.
Haven't we heard of her?
I could not know if it was Winslet, Blanchett, or Gwyneth Paltrow. I couldn't remember which one of the three, but I'm excited by all of them.
Holy Trinity.
Yeah. Blinded by the Light.
That's the Bruce Springsteen one.
Oh, it's the one the guy wakes up and no one knows anything about.
Who's the boss? That's a TV show.
Wait, what? It's Bruce Springsteen?
It's like this Pakistani kid is like in love with Bruce Springsteen or like discovers Bruce Springsteen
story.
And like,
oh, cool.
And everyone's like, what are you? That's not our music.
Interesting.
Getting decent reviews.
Did you guys see the movie Thunder Road?
No.
But I heard good things about that too, right? It's like, they
it's like a cop.
They play Thunder Road at like someone's funeral or something like that.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's based on a short film.
Yes.
You catch it VOD.
Ooh, VOD it is. 47 Meters Down, Uncaged.
Great trailer. I don't know if you see the trailer for this.
I have not.
But like there's like a bunch of like hot ladies who are like going scuba diving. They're apparently like archaeologists. And they get to one cavern which has like ruins, and then one of them goes, "This is insane." And I was like, "You're a scientist, I think." Yeah. Like that's your reaction,
and a person.
I guess so. That's fair.
Good Boys.
I've seen that trailer a million times.
I've seen the trailer.
That's another one.
Yeah. And it looks fine.
I guess I was sitting next to a guy I didn't know in the theater. The person next to me I didn't know when I saw the trailer for that. He goes, it just looks like a live action South Park. Oh, yeah. I guess it does.
It does. You're a correct, little bit.
Yeah. Out of the mouths of babes.
I'm curious if it'll be good. Like,
I'm always wary of any movie that the trailer, they say, from the guys. That's like a big red flag for me.
Because they're like, they need you to connect Seth Rogen to it. So you
from the guys.
Right. And it's like, they could just be
there are no women working on that? Yeah. Women worked on Superbad?
All right. Angel has fallen.
Okay.
Finally, Mike Bannon gets Ethan Hunted, where they now think Mike Bannon is the killer.
Well, the first one, it was Air Force One is down.
The first one is...
Olympus has fallen.
Olympus has fallen. Then London has fallen.
And London and...
Oh, the first one is the White House.
That's like Die Hard in the White House.
Yes. And then the second one is Die Hard in London. The second one features some... I really love that movie. I talk about it way too much. It's got some wild-ass shit. There's literally a sequence where the guy goes... He like kills a terrorist while he's like on the phone with his brother in front of the president. And the president's like fine with it. Then a moment later, the president is firing an MP5, like a submachine gun at terrorists.
Is Morgan
played
Freeman?
By Aaron Eckhart.
Oh. Aaron Eckhart's the president.
Morgan Freeman's the VP. So he's like the acting president when
Morgan
all that
Freeman's
shit.
The VP to Aaron Eckhart?
Yeah.
Wow. Mediocrity rising to the top.
I know. I would guess it was still a victory for Morgan Freeman because the VP seems to shoot way less in one location.
That'd be like if Mayor Pete is president and Bernie Sanders is vice president. Yeah. This doesn't make any sense. What has happened?
Hey, Pete, can we do this? Get out of here, Dad. But I will see Angel Has Fallen, of course, and Nick Nolte as his dad is great casting.
Are these good movies?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
They're fun, though, because Gerard Butler, in Angel is in the middle when London Has Fallen, he does everything. Like, he's got a team of secrets, but like, there's a sequence where he's like leaning from the back seat driving the car that someone's sitting in shotgun. Yeah. I mean, someone's sitting in the car, but he's still like, he's in charge of everything. He's got everything figured out. Yeah. Like, he's such a badass. Yeah.
I like to just see him like on a Carmel, California getaway. Like, well, how does he wind down? How does
what is Gerard Butler's life like? What is he actually like in person?
Are you drunk a lot? I'm assuming.
Yeah,
he seems like he has like the meat sweats.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got sort of like 15th century royalty about him. Where it's like, he's got the gout. He's eating soft cheeses.
Legs.
And then Overcomer. Don't know what it is.
Upsetting title.
I don't like the title.
It's like a weird, I think that's a Christian movie.
Yikes. I do not like.
I wish they made other genres. Like, I want to see a Christian horror film. I want to see, like, where's your
that
Christian?
Would probably be considered blasphemous.
Right.
Why not? What's their version? Like, is liberals taking over? Well, what movie we don't have is The Hunt.
Right, because it got booted. Pulled. This is a weird week for me because I watched all of Mindhunter and the movie Manhunter. And then the movie The Hunt was taken out of
now you just need the man.
Yeah. So it was like a weird day where I kept getting everything confused because I just
isn't that crazy though? People are more outraged at a movie that has mass shootings than actual mass. Like, we'll do more. We'll take action over a movie that has mass shootings, but we won't do anything about actual mass shootings.
Yeah. There's a real like psyops happening to us, the American people, on behalf of like the elite, the people who are in power.
Shouldn't every movie be about mass shootings?
Right, yeah.
Like, this is the reality where, like, until, will that get people in the streets doing something about it?
Here's something I said the other day. We've had Vietnam movies. Now we have movies that take place in Desert Storm. Now we've had, like, anti-terrorist movies. We've had 9/11 movies. Like, we harness the story of 9/11 to tell movies about terrorists attacking. Mm-hmm. Do you think there'll come a time when we'll have a movie about, like, that is, like, not a commentary movie, but like an action movie that is a school shooting?
Like an action movie?
Like a school shooter comes in and two kids. Like
Mike Bannon?
Yeah.
Preschool Has Fallen?
You mean like Die Hard in a high school?
Die Hard in a high school. Like, exactly. Like, how far away are we from that?
Maybe that's what happens in Good Boys. I don't know.
I don't think that's what happens in Good Boys.
I hear that Martin Lawrence and Will Smith show up and they look at each other like, who are you guys? We're the Good Boys. Like, who are you? Bad Boys.
Oh boy. I don't know. I feel like we should, though. You know what right? I mean? I feel like we're just something we don't want to talk about. We don't want to deal with.
I don't see how they do that and not and be it actually like a good depiction. They're not being like, yeah, like the glorifying the
right.
Like, yeah,
I don't
like
know
the
how you do it with
good
like,
shooter.
Tarantino take on Columbine, where like the two kids are brought down by right. like the Christian student.
Yeah, I'm thinking like remember the movie. Toy Soldiers about like the
sure,
with
yeah,
Sean
yeah.
Astin and like they take over the prep right. school. I'm thinking of that, but like a someone like I mean that is technically a school shooter movie, right?
But that was
like,
before,
right?
But isn't like an evil terrorist squad takes
yeah,
it over?
Yeah,
because
they're all
like,
kids of rich kids, yeah, kids yeah. of rich people. I'm curious, like how long until like there's a school shooter and then like the movie's about three high school kids who like take down the school shooters.
I guess because it's happening so much, we have removed from Vietnam War. We have removed.
Right.
We have time away from. Yeah. But I don't think we're ever going to be at a point where there's like no mass shootings
right.
happening.
But I also think the time removed shrinks because we started doing like 9/11 based like terrorist movies.
Sure.
Not like exactly 9/11, but like terrorist yeah, plots like, to destroy America or America getting hurt in a terrorist
sure.
attack. We were doing those. Sooner after 9/11 than we were making Vietnam movies after Vietnam. Like the time,
is
the window
true?
Shrinks, it feels like.
Well, when was Apocalypse Now? That's a Vietnam movie, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that wasn't too far after Vietnam.
What's your favorite 9/11 movie? I gotta go with United 93.
I hear that's great. I haven't
World
seen that
Trade
one.
World Trade Center? No thanks.
No thank you.
Yeah. Oliver Stone.
Don't eat Oliver
no,
Stone's
Smash Tomato.
No.
United 93, though. It's a great movie.
Yeah, intense.
I've only watched it once.
You don't. It's hard to watch again.
Tough watch, turns out.
Any movies that we know about coming down the pike that you guys are super excited about that we didn't discuss here? Even something down the road?
Yes.
Yeah. Dolomite is something I mentioned earlier. Cool. Seeing that trailer got me excited.
People were all on Twitter, Cats.
Oh,
what
yeah.
is it going to be?
Yeah. I will go see Cats.
How do you not see
sure.
Cats?
Yeah,
how do you not want to see
it.
Cats? You got to be dead.
Are you worried that they're going to like, you know, adjust it based on everyone's comments? Like
I hope not.
But like they seem to be doing that with Sonic.
That was, I wish they right. didn't adjust it.
I know.
Just leave it be. Let it look stupid. Who cares?
Don't let these motherfuckers think they can steer Hollywood.
Right.
Donald Trump's getting movies taken out of... I understand not wanting to promote The Hunt like the week of four man shootings.
Sure,
like, that's fine. But like pulling the movie completely, you know?
Well, that is the time to have those things.
Right.
Because it's happening. And like, why are you looking away? But I'm excited for Cats, speaking of.
Me too. Cats, I will be excited to watch for sure.
I saw an interview with Idris Elba because the interviewer asked him, like, what is Cats about? And they said there's this theory going around that each cat, because I guess there's nine cats, nine lives or whatever, but each cat.
No. Okay.
Represents an aspect of like a single, like multiple aspects of personalities that one person has.
Have you guys ever seen Cats, the stage version?
No.
I've walked past a Winter Garden Theater thousands of times in
my
life.
I'm sure you did.
And I've never seen it.
It's one of the things I don't want. I would see, I guess. I've never considered it, but I'm dying to see the movie.
Yeah, well, Cats the musical is just
a series of introductions.
Yeah, it's a series of like, and now it's this cat, now it's this cat, now it's this cat. And then one of them is chosen to go to the Heaviside layer, which is basically heaven. But it's like the whole point is they're all called Jellicle cats. It's just a made up word. And so they all get together once a year for a Jellicle ball and they decide who gets to go to the Heaviside layer. And so it is just like a bunch of star turns, ideally,
right.
is what it should be. It's like, oh, and then this is the railway cat. This is the two, you know, whatever cats. Seeing it in the theater. What was exciting about it is that you like were completely immersed.
You're small.
Yeah. So like you go
you're
in and like
sized.
There's like you there's
big trash.
It's like
it,
yeah, there's big trash and there's
big
like
trash.
A huge car and it's like you're in a junkyard. There's but the whole theater
big trash
is like that.
In the lobby, like there's like a big like
yeah.
fucking soda cup so
like
you feel
can
small.
And like a huge yeah and like a so it's like
I
so
love
it was very
surrounded by trash.
It was very immersive and it felt very theatrical. And I think part of the reason why the musical itself was so successful was it had that. It did that thing that like theater can do really well that movies can't.
Right.
You
right.
know what I mean? And then also what was great
immerse
about Cats,
yourself in a world. You're
not
saying?
In a way that like everything around you is. Where like
right,
they
right.
like they would dance in the aisles. They would sometimes come up to you. They would like
and
go into the
cat flies over you at the end, right?
To the tire then there's a big tire in the center stage, so that just like goes up into like into
right,
the
right,
to
right.
the ceiling. I don't think movies do that well.
No.
They don't do that as well as theater can do it.
Right.
Also, the reason why the show is so successful is that if you don't speak English, you could go see Cats and be entertained in a way that like you wouldn't see like a drama.
Right,
you might
right.
be like, I don't understand what's going on. It's just two people sitting down yelling at each other. And some of the songs are fun. It's definitely very catchy. I mean, I think it's going to be a disaster.
And
but
it's also like a show where if like... you lose one actor, you're like, all right, well, you're fucking monkey cat. Get back out. You know, like, you just plot them in. It's like everyone has like such their own little moments that like it's sort of like you can plug and play that. So I think that's why it lasts so long. It's not like they lost chemistry because there's so much of just one at a time shit, right?
But I don't understand what you're just saying.
No, then it's not like group numbers.
No, there's tons of group numbers, but like, isn't it like each cat takes a turn introducing themselves? Like,
yes,
you can just like plug in and like someone's like, I'm stepping down from the production. It's like, great, you're this cat. Someone else is this cat now, and it kind of can work.
Oh, right. It's not like, oh, you need the name. Without a name, exactly. You don't need to. Right. Yeah, yeah. There's who cares? Oh, do you fit the unitard? Great.
Oh shit, Rosie's not doing Rizzo anymore. Yeah, exactly.
We gotta get Brooke Shields. Okay,
I saw Grease with and without Rosie on.
Oh, really? Wow.
That's right. I saw Grease twice and never saw Cats. Never saw any of the big ones. I've seen Beauty and the Beast, Good Vibrations.
Wow, yeah. that's a collectible.
The best Broadway show I've seen to date is August Osage County, though.
Oh, personally. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. I haven't seen a lot of dramas, though.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw Beetlejuice and I really enjoyed it.
Oh, cool. I can't wait to see that.
I saw a Civil War musical when I was like 15 years ago.
Oh my God.
We got free tickets.
That was horrible.
It was horrible. They do the battle scenes, which is just, they run in slow motion and have a strobe light go off.
Yeah. Oh,
that's awesome.
That was terrible.
It was amazing.
Beauty and the Beast features a great musical number that uses pewter mugs as percussion and they like,
oh, fun.
Kind of on, yeah.
And it's really fun. Yeah. Like, that's a fun moment. But Beetlejuice is like actually like funny, and
it's rare for a Broadway show.
Right. It is Broadway funny, but Broadway funny,
but
better.
Still funny. Yeah
exactly.
Actually funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause it's kind of like the humor is a little dark cause it is about death and it's like, and Beetlejuice gets to be sort of meta. Mm-hmm. And it kind of works for, like, he kind of roasts the theater going audience at like a portion of the.
Oh, right. They love that.
And they know.
These jokes are for us.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, but also at the same time, it's like, you rich old white people. It's like. I can't think of any other movies.
Chapter 2 is coming up.
It Chapter 2, very excited.
Do you care about those?
I didn't care about it as much as I thought. Oh, this is a movie that actually had some cool, scary moments in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I will see It Chapter 2 for that reason.
I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
I am too.
It didn't mean that much to me seeing it. Like, I thought it was like corny at times, but then there was some fun. Like the light projector gag was amazing.
Yeah, that's a great, that's an all-timer. What else? Ad Astra? Brad Pitt goes to space.
Oh, I will sit there.
Looking for his distant father, Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones has run away to space. Okay.
You'll never find me, son. Your dad went to space, honey. I'll find him. It's like, oh God, I think your dad left.
Call Captain Marvel. She can help you find him.
I'm stuck behind the freight.
Are you looking forward to Rambo Last Blood?
Okay.
Yeah. I watched the trailer and I was a little, I'm looking forward to it because I know I will go see it. But Terminator, Last Blood, neither of those look that exciting. Like the new.
Oh, you didn't care about the Terminator?
No, and like, I mean, I'll go see it, but like, it just doesn't appeal to me that
like
much.
You're supposed to feel when you see Linda Hamilton for the first time. You're supposed to be like, "Fuck yeah!" But now it's like, "Yeah, that seems right."
Right,
and it's also that's happened so much. Like it happened with Halloween. And
right, exactly. Like, that's why it doesn't feel that cool.
Okay, it's not unique or fresh.
Also,
anymore.
It's like the sixth Terminator movie.
Right. Yeah.
And like Arnold keeps coming back, and we're supposed to keep being excited. It's like Arnold is like in.
Yeah, of course he's coming back. He's right begging to come back. Yeah. How'd they get him? Like, how do they keep him off set?
The Last Blood trailer doesn't show enough like different things. It's like all at the one ranch. I'm like, where does this movie take place? Like what's happening in this movie? Yeah.
What about a Maleficent Mistress of Evil? Are you looking forward to that?
No.
I saw the trailer for that. It just looks like Big Little Lies because
I never saw Maleficent.
It's just Michelle Pfeiffer plays like a good queen. He's like, I'm going to take your human daughter away from you. And Maleficent's like, no, you're not. She's my daughter. So it's just basically season two of Big Little Lies, but with fairies and green fire. Okay. So how are you not interested?
Fair enough. Maybe it's I'll just rewatch thing. BLL season two.
Well, you could get Maleficent's by an hour and 45 minutes.
I loved Big Little Lies season two.
It was fun. It was wild. You could tell there were moments. Oh, they just made this so they could have a gif.
Right.
Definitely
like,
that.
Yeah. Well, it's also just like, oh, here's a show that was really good. Well, let's make a kind of like medium second season of it. It's like, all right. Want to add Meryl Streep? Okay, yeah, then it's, then it's a win. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
And but Nicole Kidman is so good.
She's amazing.
I think they're all really good,
they're
actually.
All really good, but Nicole Kidman in season two, like, that was fucking awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What about so much of the, well, I guess I'm just being a stickler, but like so much of the legal stuff, I was like, this is so terrible. Like, it's so
this
bad.
Would never happen.
Yeah, and like, yeah. How, like,
can I just start talking, Your Honor?
Yeah, yeah. How frequently are the kids in there? It's like, you would maybe leave the kids home.
There's one other big comic book movie this year, Joker.
Oh, oh, I right. saw the 70mm trailer before Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And I will say, I will see that movie because
I will see it.
Joaquin Phoenix intrigues me.
The only issue I have with the trailer that I worry about, like, if he's like, I'm a weirdo freak from the beginning and it's just always a freak and like he doesn't get why the world doesn't embrace him. It's like, well, you're being a weirdo freak.
Right, right.
It feels like a movie made by and for incels.
Yeah, I hope it's not. I hope it's not.
But
like,
isn't that the vibe it gives off? Like, yeah, the world rejected me because I'm great. But no, you're not. You're like twitching and like giving your mother a sponge bath.
Yeah, I'm wondering. I'm hoping that it's not
like
that.
Maybe he has some humanity in the beginning.
Yes.
But visually, it looks great. Like these DC movies, they're shot on film and you can tell the difference.
It looks cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited by it.
You guys excited about Frozen 2?
Sure.
I mean, yeah, maybe.
Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
I don't know.
I don't think it'll be that one.
Yeah. But I feel we saw the documentary, so I feel like that's the better version of it.
You know what's really weird is that Colin Hanks played Fred Rogers on Drunk History.
Oh, did he? Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's really funny.
And he's like, oh, Dad, do you need any acting tips?
I think Queen and Slim looks like it's going to be good.
Oh, that does look cool. It sounded, the pitch... When someone told me what it was, it sounded cooler than when I saw the trailer, though.
Okay.
Because I was told it's like the Black Bonnie and Clyde. And I was like, oh, awesome. Okay. But then when you watch a trailer, it feels like it's not as action-y.
Sure.
But it still looks cool. But I was sold on Black Bonnie and Clyde. That sounded awesome. Yeah.
Here's a movie that it's crazy that we haven't talked about. Star Wars Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, yeah.
I will see that in the way I saw Endgame, where I'm kind of excited, but also... pumped to put Star Wars to rest too.
Maybe a little break.
A little bit ready to graduate from Star Wars.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I just want news. Like, I like that. I've been enjoying this new. I loved Last Jedi. I thought,
I thought one of those few.
What was the new reboot? Like the first one? No. The
Force Awakens?
Force Awakens.
That to me was just, it was just the first movie all over.
Right. And I think that's like not a bad idea. Oh, speaking of which, Top Gun
Maverick.
Yeah. And it looks like they did the Force Awakens thing and just made the same movie
again.
Well,
just the same movie, but like it'll look better.
Right. I don't think that's necessarily the worst idea.
Right.
I'm excited to see how Maverick goes, but it's him and Goose's son. That's like such a fun idea.
Miles Teller plays Goose's son. Yeah. And there's also another like homoerotic beach scene, but now there's a football.
Right.
Sure.
That's all I need. Like, cause that's what Force Awakens was. Is like, oh yeah, it's Star Wars, but now it's a
girl. Had to do the job of like introducing a bunch of new characters and making you like them, which it did. Right. But like the story itself wasn't the most compelling.
Right.
But it got you like, because kids love these new characters. Like they're all about Rey and like Kylo Ren. Mm-hmm. Like,
which is totally understandable. Rey is an awesome character. Rey's a better character than Luke is.
Right.
It's so funny when people who are like the fucking people who are like Rey is blah
she's
blah blah.
She's a Mary Sue.
And then you're like, Luke sucked the whole movie.
And could do anything he wanted.
You like
blew
like,
up the Death Star without a targeting computer.
No one said anything. And he's a fucking like Tiffany had never seen all the original Star Wars.
Yeah.
So before The Force Awakens came out, I was like, all right, well, we're going to watch the three.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I put on New Hope and she's like, as soon as Luke's on screen, she's like, this is Luke Skywalker. Like she's like, he's like a legend. Everyone talks about him. He's such a fucking dork.
Yeah. Well, at the beginning, he's got to start from somewhere
to go. Right.
Somewhere to go.
Even when he's like absolute badass, it's funny that.
Right.
I got nothing
He's
against
put on
Luke.
Such a pedestal.
I got nothing nothing bad to say about Luke, but you can't say that Rey is one thing and then Luke is
right. Which is why I thought Last Jedi, like they showed that he's flawed and not perfect. And not like he made mistakes. And I like that he wasn't perfect. Like,
right.
Why
me too.
Did you have to like once you hit your 30s, your life is fine and you never make any other mistakes? Like what reality does that track?
That's not true.
Like, let me tell you people on the
mistakes
internet,
get made in
I'm
your 30s
at
and beyond.
40 I stop making mistakes. I don't think I will. The thing that bothered me the most about The Force Awakens, which if I can make one change about it that would make it a perfect movie for me, is that she's just not from a desert planet.
Or just make it Tatooine. Why is it a different desert planet?
Exactly. Like it's just not a desert planet. Like
right.
it's
you can literally
slightly
make
different.
It anything.
Yeah. And then when you see Rogue One and there's like a tropical beach sequence, you're like, yes, this fucking rules.
Right?
I liked Rogue One.
Rogue One's hell. I thought Rogue One, like I didn't couldn't really care about any of the characters, but I love the look and the world.
Right.
The action was great.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I didn't understand why anyone made the choices they made. Like, they were all, like, kept at a distance.
Yeah, well, because the characters come in for, like, 10 minutes, and they're like, I guess this is the hero of the movie.
I love that they all die at the end. Yeah, that was great. I love that they went there.
I would watch movies that spin off, like, the smaller, like, the two Asian dudes, like Ken Watanabe.
Right. Oh,
and
yeah.
Yeah. Like, watch, show me a movie.
The Knights of the Wills.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to see shit about those people. Yeah.
I want a Knights of the Old Republic movie. I want, like, go, like, there's so much to explore in Star Wars that we haven't even seen. Like, do new stuff. Like, I'm glad they're putting Arrested Skywalker. Because the rumor is Rise of Skywalker is, there's a theory that Skywalker is just going to be the new Force users, essentially, because they aren't going to be Jedis anymore with their, like, strict. Serious system of beliefs that you can't, but it's going to be Skywalkers, and now people who have embraced, like, emotion and, like, feeling, and also still use the, and it's okay to use some of the dark side. It's going to be, like, more, like, gray and, like, not so black.
Interesting. I kind of like that. Like, they're going to understand the danger of the Force and
they're being too strict.
Respect
okay.
it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm curious. Like,
because I hope they don't undo Last
Jedi
stuff.
I'm sure they will.
Oh, God.
I'm sure, like, we'll be having this conversation in 10 years on our podcast.
Yeah. All podcasts will be one.
Three Old Queens. Gamers came out.
That's what I was getting at.
That last Brad Pitt movie finally put him over.
Well, he went to outer space and Gamers went deep inside himself. guys, thanks so much for coming on High and Mighty. Oh, I'm completely out of gas.
That's okay.
Who would have thought a 3-hour block of recording could do that to a person, including a fucking major spill. Well, where can people get your podcast? I'm assuming anywhere you can get
podcasts. Anywhere you get podcasts.
Again, it's Two Old Queens.
It's Two Old Queens.
TWO Old Queens.
Check it out. A lot of great guests. We talked about this earlier. And where are you guys at? That's at TWO Old Queens on
Twitter and Instagram. Yeah.
And also at Gmail if you want to tell us.
We have a Gmail.
Anything.
Has anyone ever emailed anything?
Not yet.
Be the first.
We still got it. Yeah, be the first.
Send these guys an email.
Send us an email. We'll
please.
Read it. But we all have it. It's all thanks to you. We wouldn't have anything without you.
Please, I wouldn't have anything without y'all.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, John literally taught me to be a storyteller. Like, that's true. Very true. And that's something I do very often. Sorry, audience. guys, thank you so much for coming on. As always, I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Check out Action Boys Pod on Patreon. And, that's all.
Bye.
Hello.